October. I really can't believe we're in October already, but October 1st, 1940, you know what opened up in Pennsylvania? What? The Turnpike. We've all been on the Turnpike. 1940 is the first superhighway, I guess, in that they said it's just 1940 in Pennsylvania, the Turnpike opened up. So then that led me into jokes on that. But how does a skunk run its car? On fumes. Where, and we have two skunk jokes, actually. Where does a skunk sit in church? In the pew. And now this is not the skunk one, but what do you call a snake that had too much coffee? A hyper viper. I like that one. I had to throw the snake joke in, but. All right, well, let's just open up in prayer this morning before we get rolling. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, once again, beautiful day. Thank you for the sun. We do thank you for the rain that we had the past week. It's always great to have the rain. It's always great to have the sun. And Lord, we just pray this morning, Father, as we continue to just unfold out of your word about the Holy Spirit being in us, in our life as believers. Lord, speak to us. Have the Spirit just unfolding our hearts and our minds of how important the Spirit is in our life, Lord. And I pray for this church, and I pray for the people in this church, and I pray that you will speak to us and help us to understand you more. In your name, pray. Now I remembered what I did forget. No, I was going to start before John got me going. Last month, I said we were going to start, and I actually totally forgot that we were going to start doing some testimony. And I said we were going to start in September. And I looked at the date today, and we're in October. So a lot of times, and I tell people this all the time, God, or people have to remind me things because it's always so much going through my head. And then, so I have a sign-up list. From now to October to December 24th, there's multiple days on here. And honestly, even if you want to give your testimony, I'd like to start hearing the testimonies. This sheet is going to be in the back. Put your name down. And looking for like a 3 to 5 minute testimony of how you came to know the Lord. That's kind of what we're looking for. And it might be where that's going to happen in the service, I don't know yet. Is it going to happen after the announcement? Is it going to happen after worship? I'm putting those things together in my mind, and then we'll have that kind of listed out. But then it helps us to speak God's word that He has, you know, like our story, right? It helps us to speak our story of what God put in us, how we came to Christ. So this is going to be in the back. And if Bob is ready, he was first. You know, he was probably going to be ready for October 8th. Esther, I yeah. All right, well, this morning, continue to look at the Holy Spirit. As we, once again, just to review, if you look in the back of your bulletin, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's purpose was what? Convict people of sin, convict people into righteousness, bring people to salvation, guiding in truth, and then bringing glory to Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at the purpose when Jesus talked about it, and we looked at the giving. And then we looked at the releasing. Now we're going to really jump in and just look at the gifts today. But before we get into the gifts, Romans 12. You can turn there. We're going to be looking at three different verses of three different references of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 and then 1 Peter. So before we look at the gifts, and as I said before, a lot of times, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are people in churches from denominations look at the things different ways. I feel that the Holy Spirit was never meant to be a divider with Christians. The Holy Spirit was meant to what? To unify the church. So Satan has taken the Holy Spirit and twisted it, just like he did in the garden about the fruit and which tree and what God said on that fruit. So now in the church level, the Holy Spirit, which should not be a battleground for us as believers, but should be something that unifies us as believers. That's the Holy Spirit. Romans 12. We're going to start in Romans 12, 2. Sorry, I started singing this morning. And I'm not pulling my throat. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is spoken of, this is spoken of before we get into a list of gifts given by the Holy Spirit to believers. And I think before we look at the gifts that were given to believers, the point here for all believers is really comes down to this phrase in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. If we do not transform our minds, how we were in the past, how we were before we were believers, that's what the Holy Spirit comes into us, and we need to begin to transform our mind away from our selfish thoughts, away from our sinfulness, and the Holy Spirit can then work in our life. We need to transform our mind. So many times, when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people many times don't transform, because what happens? People get saved, and then all of a sudden they might see certain things that they have, these spiritual gifts, and they get prideful. Is that transforming your mind? No, that's something of the past. Selfishness, pride, and these things that happen within our life. So we first have to make sure that we are walking with the Lord and our mind is being transformed, renewing our mind. And it happens for all of us, even as you grow in your Christian faith, that we need to continually be filled and renewing our mind upon Scripture, upon Christ, so the Holy Spirit can work in our life. Because that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to work in our life. Our power, the power of Christian living, does not come from us. The power from Christian living to step out, to be bold, to tell somebody about Christ, doesn't come from within us as our people, like us, right? Of us internally. That needs to come from the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit working in our life. And if we have sin built up in our life, we're not being renewed, we're not being transformed, and we have this constant battle within our life of sinful nature, and you know, Paul talks about that, the sinful nature and the spiritual nature. But all around us, we know that there's a spiritual dimension taking place every single day in the world. Satan, Jesus, the good and the evil, and we know that takes place every day. And the Holy Spirit, given to us, gives us what? Gives these gifts that have been given to us to help us as believers in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life to connect with God, and in our spiritual life to show, and this is the purpose of what the Holy Spirit was, is to present the gospel so people will be convicted and come to Christ. That's the purpose. So, we're going to jump through here and look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to start dropping back and looking at some of these gifts. Now, and we have an assessment that we're going to do at the end of where our spiritual gifts are. And I'm not trying to have people look at gifts. The Holy Spirit and what we feel on where gifts are, that's between you and the Lord, right? I'm not saying, hey, all these gifts are, I'm telling you what I believe. And this is why. I believe that all the gifts given in Scripture are still valid 100% today, because Jesus Christ, God, is the same today as He was at the beginning of time. The same God. We sang it this morning, and it touched me when we talked about there's another standing in the fire. And then you think about the hands holding back the sea. When Israel went and crossed the sea, and they crossed on dry land. Think about the God that we have. So that's what I'm thinking of when I think of the Holy Spirit, that we have the same God. And for me, did I ever tell you how and when I really committed myself to Christ? Did I ever tell a story? When I was 18, I was just so quick. And this is why this changed my mind on the power of God when I was 18, because I saw God's first, I saw His miracle firsthand with my own eyes, and it changed my life forever on my understanding of the power of who God was. As 18, we were backpacking with a bunch of friends, well, two friends, and to be quick, we were backpacking. It was cold. We got hit with this rainstorm, and things were falling down, and we were scared. You know, you're out in the wilderness, and we had to pack out another couple days before we could get to this next location to get supplies. And it was horrendous downpour all day long, all day, and then all night. So when we get to it, we were cold and tired and scared. And when we went to set up camp, we're like, we just got to set up camp. We're so cold. And we had a couple matches. And there was three matches I had left, three. And out of those three, maybe one was dropped. Right? So as we got down, I had these three matches. We tried to find dry wood. Everything was, you know, wet. Wherever you could find anything, it was just soaking wet. And we got this fire, some wood together, and I lit this match, and it didn't even light. So now we're down to two. The next match got kind of lit, kind of gave us a little smoke, and then it just died. I had one match left. And I was with these two buddies of mine, and I said to them, I said, hey, you know what? We're cold, we're tired, we're scared. We're scared kids. I said, let's hold hands on this fire. And let's pray that the Lord will start this fire on this mat. Because odds were, it's not starting, right? Because everything was wet. Everything was cold. Everything was just wet. So, and I remember this so vividly because I was sitting there and I was the guy lighting the fire. So after we prayed, I got down on my knees and I'm sitting there, you know, I lit this match and it lit. And I went to put it in. As I put it in, guess what? The thing, the drop of water came right on it. The match totally went out. Totally went out. Done. And I didn't even get it in. And as it went out, I put it in, I looked at that thing and there was nothing. And as a kid, having faith in Jesus, as a child, the childlike faith, I stood there and I looked at that fire and said, Lord, and I remember plain as day, Lord, you can start this fire. Lord. I don't know how, it might have been 30 seconds. I sat there, I just looked at this thing, I was like, Lord, you tell me as the God that you are that you can do anything, so I know you can start this fire. It was just nothing. And as I sit there and I continue to pray, out of nowhere, and I'm telling you, out of nowhere, this fire came up And at that moment in my life, I knew that Jesus Christ, the God that we serve, was beyond all power. That's the moment I knew. That's the moment where I said to myself, I'm going to serve this God. Because I heard it all through church. I went to the youth group, and I went through this, and went through that, and I was on the mission field before this time, but at that moment, I believe everybody has a moment where Christ becomes real to them. That moment, for me, was when I was 18 in the woods, when that fire came out of nowhere, and I saw the power of God. So, Jesus Christ, releasing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit gives Christian believers gifts. And how we look at those and where we believe where they stand is regardless, but we're looking at the gifts. And as I said, on this assessment, and we looked at different assessments. And there's some assessments out there that break down all the gifts, and there's some assessments out there that disregard some of the gifts. I go to the standpoint of what does Scripture say on where these gifts are and list out the gifts. And let's go to Romans 12, starting in verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Those lists, the list right there of some of the gifts that we find in Romans. Now we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. So in Romans, we see the gift of prophecy. We see the gift of serving. We see the gift of teaching. We see the gift of encouragement. We see the gift of contributing to the needs of others, helping others financially. We see the gift of leadership, and we see the gift of mercy. Those are the gifts that are outlined in Romans. Now, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to speed it up so I won't be able to get through this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Start, 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them for all men, in all men. Now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. That common good was for the church. The Holy Spirit, these gifts were given for the common good of us, the church here, for the church up the road, for us as believers, the universal church that we are supposed to help each other. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And that's where I was when I was shown that faith that happened to me when I was out in the woods. My faith went from a young boy's faith to seeing my faith boom. Because I saw God work, and my faith level went from a zero to a 10,000 of what I knew God could do on faith. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They're all from the Holy Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. example, that list for 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11 is wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between the spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. What I find here, and this is what we have to remember, in verse 11, all these gifts are the work of the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determined. These gifts are given and determined on the principles of how the Holy Spirit, how Jesus Christ, how God determines when and how and why these gifts are given. And many times, many times when it comes to certain gifts, people are like, well, I have this gift. And they, wow, this is a spiritual gift. And they tell people they have this spiritual gift. And they promote this spiritual gift that they have, but it's not really the spiritual gift that they're talking about to promote Jesus Christ. They're promoting themselves. Okay, look how spiritual I am. Look how, and they have this piety about them of where they are, because they want people to look at them to say they're more spiritual than somebody else. But that is not what the intent of the gifts are for. That, what happens there is that is when the enemy uses that to deceive people, to take away from what the gifts are intended for us, the church, for the common good, to help each other, to reach people, to what? To bring glory to God, because that's the purpose of the Spirit. When that happens, and I like actually what the King James says here, divided in verse 11, it says, divided to every man severally, and that means separately or individually as the Spirit's will. The Spirit will give accordingly as the Spirit wants to give these gifts. We had a friend of ours, godly woman, champion. I mean, this was a woman that we ministered with in multiple countries, and she ministered to kids since she was in college, and when she was in her, just passed away recently, maybe 70. She got hit. And this was like a really godly woman, right? And you couldn't get past anywhere without this woman speaking to multiple people about Jesus Christ. You couldn't go to dinner and not have her talk, be sharing with somebody. You couldn't go down the street without her sitting down. She's a single woman. She dedicated her entire life to tell people about Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what she did. We can eat in about 4 hours. I'm telling this person about Jesus. And that's how she lived. And she was very on fire, bold about her telling others about Christ. And when she got cancer, everyone was praying. One of the most good people we know. And she got healed. And people were praying and praying and praying and praying for healing into her life. And guess what? That healing didn't come after she crossed over to heaven. That's when the healing came, but not before. Why? Because that gift of healing wasn't released. It wasn't the will of God to give her that healing. And many times what we find, and I'm sure it's happened in this church, and I know it's happened in my life, where you are praying for a healing, and you are praying for this gift of something, you are praying for a miraculous event in somebody's life, and we think, and especially as Americans, we think this because we're Americans, and we think, hey, we're Americans, God should be listening to us, right? But sorry, I won't get down that too. But the healing never came. And many times in our life, when we're praying, and we think we're praying in the Spirit, we have to remember that the Spirit is going to be the distributor of those gifts how He wants it. And if it doesn't come across this what we think how it should be, then what happens? Many times in our life, then we can get bitter. Right? We can say, Jesus, You tell me to trust You. You tell me You can do this. You tell me You can do that. I see in Scripture, I've heard this. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen just the way we think, because that distribution of gifts wasn't given what we think it should be. We become bitter. We become angry. And that can change and twist our mind. And that's what the enemy does. The enemy takes that and twists our mind. And then all of a sudden, what the Holy Spirit should be for the church as a giver of gifts, we all of a sudden get that twisted in our mind from Satan that the Holy Spirit is there. And we become bitter. And then people will argue with each other, and we have church splits, and we have this, and we have that within the church as believers. And sometimes the church split is stupid. I'm not saying it's not. But sometimes it's just over stupidity, right? I mean, it really is. Over some simple things. So the enemy uses some of this so many times that we become bitter, we turn our back on God, and we walk away from the purposes that God has for us. 1 Corinthians 12:27-31, another listing here of gifts. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Each one of you is part of it. We're part of the body. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. This is the list again, another list. First of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles. Also, those that have gifts of healing. Those that are able to help others. Those with the gift of administration. Those with the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues. And are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. I'm adding no in there. I'm talking to myself. I don't want to add the scripture. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No, they don't. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. These gifts, there's gifts that are given that are greater than others. And the greater than other gifts are what? Those gifts are the ones that speak the word, direct people to who our Savior is. Those are the greater gifts. The greater gifts are for the apostles, for what we look at as missionaries today, for those speaking, those which are prophesying in the assessment, which is going to go through some of the prophecy, what that means, how that looks. It's just not like, oh, I see the future. We're not looking at that at all. The prophecy of God's Word, speaking God's Word, bringing God's Word to people's lives. That's the intent. That's the intent of Scripture. That's the intent of the Holy Spirit in our life. My prayer. Hi, Davis. My prayer. Sorry, he came through the front, the back row to where he came from. He's out on the way up. My prayer for this church. My prayer for me. My prayer for all of us is that when we look at our spiritual assessment and we look at the gifts that are listed out, that we can look at those, we can understand where those gifts are falling in our life, because those gifts can be given, and those gifts can be, you know, they come and go as the determination of the Holy Spirit. Not by the determination of us, but by what the determination of the Spirit is. And it happens why, when. It happens and it goes back to it happens. And if we want to be honest, and this wire come down. It's driving up. But if we need to understand this, it comes down to the one thing of if we do not renew our mind, we come to Christ and we hold on to our old world. What's the Spirit really doing in our life? Nothing. We need to renew our mind. When we come to Christ, we need to renew our mind. We need to set our mind upon what the Scripture tells us. Not what we think, not going back to what we've always have done, but what Scripture tells us. So, this week, we're going to have the spiritual assessment. And what I want to do is really just have you look at, take this assessment, we're going to take it home. So you have time, there's a series of questions. And there's many different ones out there. I grabbed one that used all the gifts, as I said, that used what Scripture talks about as gifts. So we have... I'm sorry, that other looking for David. He's in here. So we have... So if we have this assessment, we're just very much going through, answering some questions to see what kind of qualities we have. And then we can look at where those gifts that we have are higher than others. You might have more faith in one area, and they would say, well, you have the gift of faith, or you have a gift of wisdom, or you might be like, hey, I love to help people, and I give stuff away, and I help people financially. You might have the gift of financial giving, those types of things. So with this package, I'm not trying to, don't be scared of the spiritual gifts. I think many times, and don't get me wrong on this, I think many times churches have been scared by the gifts because we can't control them as people. Because the Spirit is in control. As people, we like to control things. We want to hold on to things. We want to direct this and this and this. I'm saying, let's forget what we know or what we think of the Spirit. Take the assessment. Answer these questions honestly. Write it down. It's very self-explanatory in the back. Once you answer some questions, there's a list here of you write down your 1 through 5, and then you total that across, and you'll get a score. It's just a baseline, right? You get a score of, hey, you're high in this, you're high in the gift of administration, or you're high in the gift of music. And music wasn't listed in the gift that we're given, but it's a highly used gift that we use within the church, right? So there's all the gifts, and outside of that, the list that we looked at, there's other gifts listed in here that we've taken the baseline for. And then once you do that, you write down your answer, and then you can put what the gift is next to that. So we can start breaking that down, because we need to know what our gifts are. The Spirit gives us gifts. We need to know that so we can honor and glorify God more. So I'm late, so I'm going to close in prayer. But do not leave before we get to you, okay? Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the Spirit in my life. Thank you for speaking your words of faith and wisdom and Scripture into my heart, Lord. You have been my constant for many, many, many years, even though you know I'm a simple guy. But, Lord, I know that you are full of power. I know that the Spirit is the source for us of power and for understanding of the truth that comes from Scripture comes from the Spirit in our world today, Lord. And I pray, as we look at this, I pray for this church. I pray for the people in this church, and I pray that you have your will done as you see fit. You just are here to say, Lord, we love you, and we're going to honor you no matter what. In your name we pray. Amen.